السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're going to commence with a new majlis of Hazrat Jumana Masjidullah Rahmatullah Ali. So this majlis took place on the 25th of Ramadan Sharif. It was the end of Ramadan Sharif. 1409, corresponding with the 2nd of May 1989. So this majlis took place in Jalalabad. Hazrat Jumana Masjidullah Rahmatullah Ali commenced this majlis by mentioning the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that awwaluhu rahmah. The first 10 days of Ramadan Sharif are 10 days of mercy. وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. And the middle are 10 days of supplies. The middle are 10 days of maghfirat. And the last are 10 days of freedom from the fire of Jahannam. So this month of Ramadan Sharif, although we have passed the month, there are many, many things that we heard in the month. And many intentions we may have made that now I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or give up this, give up that. So this will serve as a reminder for us. It will serve as a reminder. All those good intentions we made, all the efforts we made, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to remain with istiqamat. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned that this month of Ramadan Sharif is a month of extra mercy, of special forgiveness, of great calmness and of great barakah. These special features of Ramadan Sharif are derived by a subtle use of the word Ramadan in the following manner. So Ra, the Ra of Ramadan, stands for mercy, for rahmah. Now, this is not a hadith or something. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is just mentioning. So he says the meem of Ramadan, this stands for maghfirah, for forgiveness. Then the dad of Ramadan stands for dhiyafa, hosting, because people are fed, feed people, etc. Then the alif of Ramadan Sharif is for ulfat, affection, or unsiyat, calmness. And the noon for Ramadan Sharif stands for ni'mat, for blessings. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and maghfirat are special in this month. Diyafat, one is a guest of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala provides for His servant. Ulfat and unsiyat, affection between one another. One is to have affection amongst ourselves. And the other is to have that love for Allah Ta'ala. If there was no serenity, who would stay hungry the whole day and then still perform 20 rakats additional Taraweeh namaz at night? People who unfortunately are unable to do this. You get many people, they fast, come to the evenings, Taraweeh now is too heavy. You get people, adults sometimes, Taraweeh time, they are sitting outside in the parking lot, they are smoking, talking, or they go away to some garages, they come and read Isha, and then they go away. They feel it too hard to stand and read Taraweeh Salah. Some people find it too hard to even fast in the month of Ramadan Sharif. So many people, unfortunately, openly they are eating. Before, even amongst the women folk, that part of the month when they cannot fast. But even their own children in the house won't know that the mother is not fasting. The way they would conduct themselves, like everybody would think that they are still fasting. Even their own children living in the same house won't know that the mother is not fasting. Today, that sharam haya is not there. People will walk in town, they walk with the coffee in their hand, drinking the coffee, eating something. So, well, I'm not fasting. Is that part of the month? I'm not fasting. Or a person has got some ruling, right? Maybe due to some illness or whatever. So he's got some ruling, some fatwa that he doesn't have to fast. But then, does it mean that he mustn't respect the month also? When he's a person is not fasting, does it mean he mustn't respect the month also? At least in front of people, behave like a fasting person. But that sharam is not there anymore. That haya is not there anymore. So, the thing that causes people to keep that roza, to read that taraweeh, is a serenity that Allah Ta'ala gives to His bandas in this Mubarak month of Ramadan Sharif. The person looks forward to keeping the roza. He looks forward to the taraweeh salah. You get some elderly people, old people also. The way they read the taraweeh, every rakat, standing. I remember in Masjid al-Taqwa, there was an elderly person, it was a wauda. So he used to stand directly behind the imam, or maybe just slightly to the right or the left. And he was in his old age. But the way he would wake up from his sajda, and when the imam, after two rakats, is standing up, or after four rakats, is standing up, you know, no laziness, no killing couple of more seconds and all of that. What causes a person to be like that? The serenity that Allah Ta'ala gives to the person. Some people who just give in to their nafs, right? They give in to their nafs. No, I can't manage this. I can't manage this. No. Allah Ta'ala gives the person that serenity. Now the person looks forward to it. He wants to do it. Gee. Ni'mat, the blessings are to be seen everywhere. In Ramadan Sharif, so much of ni'mats. Hazrat Ji says, just see what delicacies are placed before you at the time of breaking your fast. You see it in your own house, so much of barakat comes away. Things you don't get whole year, you get in Ramadan Sharif. Besides the food, there are blessings visible elsewhere also, especially in one's ibadat, in one's obedience to Allah Ta'ala. One's tilawat of Quran Sharif, dhikrullah, tasbihat, all this is now performed in abundance. What a person does in Ramadan Sharif is unable to do out of Ramadan Sharif. He can't manage to do that much out of Ramadan Sharif. One sees the mu'min rising early for sehri and then rushing to perform his fajr salah with jamaat, eager to fulfill the rites of the sharia, the rites of Allah Ta'ala, that great being, that infinite, omnipresent Allah Ta'ala. The small, finite human being. Small little midget, right? You just take, forget the whole earth. You just take one huge tree and put us next to the tree. One tree. Put us next to the tree, the big, big gum trees and all, you get big trees. Let's put us next to the one tree and see how, what a midget we are. We are so small. Now imagine in front of this world, how small we are. And then, in front of Allah Ta'ala's universe, where do we fit in? Little, minute. Midgets we are. And then in front of Allah Ta'ala, if we still want to walk with pride, still want to talk with pride, that's why this kibar is only for Allah. Greatness is only for Allah. It's not for us. We are minute, little creatures. When we look at an ant, right, we consider it insignificant. It's small little thing like that, insignificant. What are we in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? Also like that, and small little thing, insignificant thing. So you see this small, finite human being eagerly rushing forth to fulfill whatever ahkam they are of Allah Ta'ala. Such zeal for obedience. And He has taken him into His lap. Allah Ta'ala has taken the person into His lap. This infinite being now sacrifices for this finite devotee. Allah Ta'ala takes this person. In other words, Allah gives him tawfiq. Allah takes the person in His lap, figuratively. But now this person, there's no limit for him. He's prepared to exert himself. What ibadat he is doing. The prerequisite, of course, is that this finite human must be a devotee of that caliber. He must really want to please Allah Ta'ala. Not please our nafs. Please Allah Ta'ala. If so, then there is no reason why the master should not be ready to sacrifice for his servant. And the servant truly wants to please Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala must open the door for that person. You have all heard of King Mahmud Ghaznavi and his slave Ayaz. The devotion of Ayaz to his master is legendary. In return for such dedication, King Mahmud Ghaznavi was ready to sacrifice himself for his slave. Ayaz's devotion was such that he sacrificed himself at every command of the king. Whatever the king wanted him to do, whatever instruction, he was ready to sacrifice himself. This was the basis for the king's reciprocal attitude. The king was also reciprocating, because the Ayaz was so obedient, so loyal, such zeal in carrying out every instruction. So now the king was also like that. The king was also like that towards him. However, take note of the sequence. First comes the dedication and the sacrifice from the slave. We can't expect that the king must first serve. No. First comes the dedication from the slave. The sacrifices from the slave. The slave must prove himself. Then only will his turn come for the special mercy and sacrifice of the master. Of course, the purpose of sacrifice on the part of the slave is to attain qurb. The slave, when he is sacrificing, he wants to attain closeness, wants to get closeness. Otherwise, it is deception. If his sacrifices are not to get qurb to the king, he's got ulterior motives. He's doing all of this so that the king will reward him, give him some extra monies. He's doing all of this so that the other ministers can see how close I am, see how what I am doing. He's doing all of this so the friends of the king can see. Then those friends, you get so many people, you know, they come away into one majlis or something. Then say, okay, now I can go start one business now. So they know now, this fellow is a wholesaler, that fellow is this, all in the majlis there. So I can go by them now and get goods on account. They'll give me, because they see how close I am to the Hazrat, how are they going to tell me no now? So many people have done this. Other people have gone for proposals after that. Other people have done other things after that. So many people, they come with the wrong niyat, wrong intention. So the intention when we are worshipping Allah Ta'ala is just the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I want to get close to Allah Ta'ala. I want to please Allah Ta'ala. I'm doing it out of love for Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. So first must come this, and there must be, the purpose must be that I just want to get close to my Allah. The Quran Sharif says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. When we say the Quran Sharif says, that means Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let this worldly life deceive you. Do not let this worldly life deceive you. This world has its distractions. It has its pomp, lustre, adornments, beauties. It should not be that the orders of Allah Ta'ala are directing you in one direction and you are sacrificing in opposite direction. Therefore, that human, that servant, that slave of Allah Ta'ala should be ready to sacrifice, to fulfill the orders of his master. He should not give precedence to the orders of anyone else. And never but never act according to the orders of others in conflict with the orders of his master. See, we have to understand this concept. What is my Allah Ta'ala's command? What is my Allah Ta'ala's command? Shaitan will make us think in our head. No, I think I got to do this, I think I got to do that, I think this is the right thing, no. What is Allah Ta'ala's command? And I must just live my life like that, according to Allah Ta'ala's command. If I live my life fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's commands, even if I don't do too much nafal, no problem. If I don't do too much optional ibadat, no problem. But I just fulfill Allah Ta'ala's commands. I don't get involved in guna. And whatever Allah Ta'ala, whatever Allah's commands are to me, I fulfill that. Now, even if the person doesn't do too much nawafil, no problem. He is safe. If with staying away from gunas, fulfilling the commands, on top of it, a person is doing nawafil, this is nurun ala nur. This is even better. Right? But if a person, he is not following the command of Allah, he is doing what he wants to do. See? Take an example, right? Take an example. If I got a passion to feed, right? So Ramadan Sharif comes and says, no man, you know what? I'm cooking 10 digs haleem, right? And I am going to feed now. Sunday I'm going to go and distribute. My own hands I'm going to go and distribute. Right? Person has got a shock. My own hands I'm going to go and distribute. In all the poor areas I'm going to go and give this thing. Did Allah Pak instruct him to do that? Is it an instruction from Allah Ta'ala that he must go and make 10 digs on him and go distribute it in all the poor areas? It's not an instruction from Allah Ta'ala. It's an optional thing that he wants to do, which is very good, very rewarding. Right? Now, he wakes up very early to start cooking his 10 digs. Now, to go and distribute, he doesn't get his Zohar namaz with Jamaat. Then, by 4 o'clock, he is very tired. He says, no, now very, very tired. I need to go to sleep. He doesn't get his Asr namaz with Jamaat also. Then night time Taraweeh can't read also. So now he did what he wanted to do. But was that the command of Allah Ta'ala to him? That was not the command of Allah Ta'ala. It was something he had a shock to do. But the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then he put that in the back. He didn't comply with that. Now, if he never cooked the 10 legs of Anim, but he went for his Zohar namaz with Jamaat, he went with his Asr namaz with Jamaat, he read his Taraweeh, everything, now he will be successful in the sight of Allah. On the other hand, if a person would making the 10 legs Anim, wood distributing, Allah gave him that kind of taqat, that kind of strength, that he did that also, and he got all his namazes with jamaat also, and he didn't get angry with his wife also, and he wasn't fighting with the cook, and when he went distributing, he wasn't talking to the aunties also. Then now nurun ala nur. Now he did whatever is Allah's ahkam, plus he went and did all these extra things. But just doing what I got shock to do, like for example, no? Say, before Maghrib, right, is a time for acceptance of dua. So if I decide that no, you know, in masjid, too much noise, too much friends, you meet people there and all of that. So I think I'll just stay at home. Stay at home, make my dua with sukoon, and get my family together, make dua with them, right? Plus I'll be able to eat my samosa bhajia also, hot at home, instead of going to the masjid and getting involved with everybody there. I'll make my iftar here at home, right? So the person thinks like that. Like in his mind, he's thinking he's doing wonders. You know, it's such concentration in my dua. Plus I got my whole family to sit down and make dua with, right? We enjoyed the dua and everything. But now he's not going to the masjid for Maghrib namaz. So what has he achieved? He has achieved pleasing his own nafs. Doing what he liked to do. Not what Allah Ta'ala instructed him to do. So we got to understand that our life has to be as per the instruction of Allah Ta'ala. What is the command of Allah Ta'ala? What does Allah Pak want me to do? Everything that I do, I must check. What is Allah Ta'ala's command directed to me at this moment in time? I need to comply with that. I need to fulfill that. So the sacrifice should be only for the orders of his master. Note that it is Allah Ta'ala who has initially sought out his servant. Allah Ta'ala says, I am near to you already. Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are nearer to him than his jugular vein. We are already so close to him. Allah Ta'ala is saying, I am near to you already. But you also have to show that you are near to me. My nearness is an established fact. That I am closer to you than your jugular vein. My nearness is an established fact. Right? It is you who has distanced yourself from me. You are mine. You have distanced yourself from me. You must remember, there is no one that loves us more than Allah Ta'ala. No one loves us more than Allah Ta'ala. Second is Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But most, the one who loves us the most is Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala is our creator. When we look at relationships, we will find that there is no one that loves a child more than the parents. No one loves a child more than the parents. The parents, they love their children. Now that child grows up. And the child starts back answering those parents. How the parents feel? That, by, I know you before you know yourself. I know things about you that you don't even know. You don't even know these things about yourself. I know. I know you before you knew yourself. And today you talk to me like this. Then the child gets a little bit bigger. Now you got no time for the parents. Parents are too boring. They're too old-fashioned. Parents are backward. We got our friends now. We got our friends. We got our gadgets. we got our pastimes, we got our things to do. Who's going to sit with the old man? We don't have to even consult the old man anymore. We're very sharp. We got very intelligent. We don't have to consult the old man anymore. What does he know about living? What does he know about the new times? Right? Now how that parent will feel? How does that parent feel? You see, he sort of has so much time to run around with his friends. He can go spend hours running around with his friends. He can't come sit and have a 10-minute conversation with me. Now when the father will feel hurt about that, the mother will feel hurt about that. Why they feel hurt? Because of their connection with that child. The love that they have for that child. The care that they have for that child. But can their love and concern and care compare with Allah Ta'ala? So imagine when Allah Ta'ala is looking at us. Look at this banda of mine. I created him. I nurtured him. I knew him before his parents knew him too. The parents will say that I know you before you knew yourself. Allah Ta'ala say, I know you before your parents even knew you. Before your parents came into existence, before you came into existence, already I knew you. And I knew your whole life story too. And today you got no time to talk to me. I'm just calling you 5 times a day. You can't come and talk to me. You got time for your friends. You got time for your business. You got time for your hobbies. You got time for this, time for that. You can't take out time for me. I'm telling you, don't do this. You're still doing it. You're getting yourself into trouble. I take you out of the trouble. I tell you, don't do this. You still go and do it. You get yourself in trouble again. Every time I'm beating you out. Eventually, there's a cutoff, isn't it? Eventually, there is a cutoff. Some hiding comes from above. Sometimes the hiding is in a form of mercy. And by Uto, wake up. See which line you're going. See where you're going. If the person still doesn't want to take heed, then sometimes the hiding comes in the form of azab also. But in the dunya, the azab is a small punishment. Dun al azab al akbar. It's not a major punishment. La allahum yarji'un, so that they return. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to appreciate this relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Appreciate who our Allah Ta'ala is. How Allah Pak must be looking at us. When we feel we are an authority of our own, we can just behave any which way we feel like behaving, do what we feel like doing. How we must be upsetting Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One of my friends told me, he said, Moana, after Eid, you must at least give 3 days, no? 3 days, but have a break. Not even 3 days now, you have a program already. That's enough. What I'm going to do, I'm bored now. I'd rather just call all of you, occupy you all also. And inshallah, now the program is gone after Isha. And just now Isha will get a little bit earlier. So I was thinking from this year now, as the Isha gets a little bit earlier, then we must just introduce a little bit dhikrullah and dua also, like we used to have in Marismuth. I need to see with the students how to juggle their time. And then, I think one more shift in Isha, like a little bit earlier, and then inshallah we can just make the program maybe 40 minutes, add on a little bit, few minutes of dhikrullah and few minutes of dua, inshallah. Today we'll give 3 days. Have a break. Shanna from Allah Ta'ala ki bas tawfiq. Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.